and the Muslimun ala shurutihim. That Muslims also have to keep their condition. If you tell me 10 days, means 10 days. You told me, understand that I will meet you in Atlanta, you meet me in Atlanta, okay? You told me that I'm going to wrap it for you, you don't bring it, understand, in a box with no wrap. So whatever conditions that we make it, we have to stick to these conditions. In exception also, that condition that you make it is not going to make something halal haram or something haram halal. This will relate to business, this will relate to marriage, this will relate to any kind of agreement. You stick to the condition. As long as the condition doesn't violate the Book of Allah or the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Next hadith, which hadith number 736, page number 307. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لا يمنع جار جاره أن يغرز خشبة في جداره. ثم يقول أبو هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه ما لي أراكم عنها معرضين والله لأرمين بها بين أكتافكم. متفق عليه. The hadith is reported by Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him. The hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari as well Imam Muslim, rahmatullah alayhima. The hadith is authentic. And this hadith is talking about your partner, your neighbor, that you are not supposed to stop him or to refuse him to lean a trunk of a tree or a 2x4 or whatever it is on your wall. That means because your neighbors, you share in one wall. Your apartment this way or your house this way, this is house this way. So there is one wall between both of you. And for him to put a roof, he have to put what? Wood, what you call
a beam.
So Rasulullah said that is not supposed to prevent your neighbor to put the beam on your wall, which he's sharing it together, because it's not going to cause you anything. Okay, it's not going to take away something from your house, except you understand somebody going to put a metal roof and now going to cause the destruction of my wall. Okay, and now it was no wall, this is a different story. Okay, you have the right to enjoy your property, and you have the right over it before anybody else. But if there is a need and the other person could not establish his welfare without utilizing what's between you and him, and is not going to cause you any hardship or difficulty or problems, now you shouldn't stop him. You see? Now you shouldn't stop him. That Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, one must not prevent his neighbor from fixing a beam in his wall. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said, why do I see you turn away from it? I swear by Allah that I will always narrate it to you. Okay? I see you people don't like to hear it. You don't want, huh? Because being selfish, okay? You don't want to, it's my house, nobody bother me, okay? I say, it doesn't matter, you like what I'm saying. So actually, doesn't matter if the people like what you narrate or no, it's your job to keep passing the information to the people. And as I said, as long as not a person is going to cause your neighbor hardship or difficulty, you shouldn't stop him. And we have to understand that the neighbors has rights over us. and that we have to be kind to them, that we supposed to be helpful and to assist them to the best of our ability, at least that we are not stopping them of having things which is not causing us any harm. وعن أبي حميد الساعدي رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يحل لامرئ أن يأخذ عصا أخيه بغير طيب نفس منه رواه ابن حبان والحاكم. Hadith is reported by Abu Hamid al-As'adi al-Sa'idi, may Allah be pleased with him. The hadith in collection of Ibn Hibban and al-Hakim. And the hadith is authentic that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it is not permissible for one of you to take his brother's stick or staff. You know, you call it staff, that he lean in it when he walk, okay? He's not supposed to take it from him without his goodwill. That means taking it against his will. Why is the Prophet ﷺ talking about a stick? Because basically the stick means almost like nothing, okay? You go to the tree, you pull piece of branch of the tree and you clean it up. This is a stick. He didn't pay too much for it. But although that has no much value, but because he owned it, it still have to be regarded and honored and be respected. So whatever belongs to your Muslim brother or your Muslim sister, he has no right over it without him giving it to you with a good will. Don't try. And one of the means, as example, people, they are not stealing it or snatch it or sneaking it out or whatever. Sometimes some people, they use a means to embarrass the person. You see? Let's see. Oh man, you have all these books, man. I'm dying to find a book like this. I wish, man, you can, you see? And you keep nagging him and giving him in a way. Now he feel embarrassed. He has no choice, okay? In his good heart, he's not giving it to you. But he kept talking about it every time. Man, I really like this shirt. Man, I really like this kufi. Man, I really like this kufi. So, oh, I see him, you understand, every week he comes with a new kufi, man. Oh. So now you feel, you understand, like, this man is not going to leave me alone until I give it to him. Because he's giving you a headache, you see. Okay, so even the stick, which has no value, almost no value, is still have to be honored, okay? And we have to respect the property of the Muslims, that we didn't take it from them without any lawful means and lawful ways. Inshallah, we go to the next chapter, chapter number 8, and maybe we stop after this, because it seems the brothers there or the sisters, they may have some questions. This chapter number 8, page number 307, the transistor of debt and
surety. Transfer of debt.
Yeah, to transfer the debt. I think it's self-explanatory, but الحوالة, that means to transfer something from place to place, okay? To change it from direction to other direction. That as example, if you owe somebody money and now you will like A owe B some money, B person owe C money. Okay? So these three people involved. So instead of B taking the money from A, so B will say to A, C owe me money, what about you take it from C? Okay? Or as example, that A and B and C, C doesn't owe B anything, but he's a rich man and expecting, you understand, so A, B, you go to A and say to him, C willing to pay you the money, okay? So that you transfer this to a different direction. Hadith number 738 from Abu Huraira radiallahu an, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, matlu al-ghani zulm, wa idha utbi'a ahadukum ala mala'in, mali'in falyattabi'. That this hadith متفق عليه in البخاري and Muslim. The hadith is authentic. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, delay in payment by a rich man is injustice. Okay? It's not fair. It's not right. I owe you money. Now I got the means. I shouldn't be playing games and wasting your time and disappear, hiding. Okay? You have it? Pay. Okay? Yeah. So delaying the payment while you have the means, this not fair. But when one of you is referred for payment to a wealthy man, he should accept the reference. Okay? He should accept this, okay? Say, no, you're the one who borrowed the money from me, I'm not taking, you go get it from me, understand, from so and so, okay? So, as long as the person accepts this, he's willing to give it to you, and he says, this is now in my dhimma, or in my, in my credit now, and he accepts this, you have to accept, and don't give the person hard time. The hadith talk about two issues here. One is that you shouldn't give the people hard time in paying them. So when you have the means, give it right away. And the second one talks about when a person been transferred or referred to somebody else to pay the debt, that he should accept this. And also that the rich person should pay his debt, pay what been took in on his credit to the person. And all the things what we've been studying from this hadith, it shows us how Islam concerned about money and property, and these things have to be regarded and have to be secured. Okay? So Islam concerned about this because this is a means for people to live. And if Islam allows people taking each money, each other property and money, and playing games with it, this is not right. It's not going to be peace. And we understand Islam is peace, came to bring peace. It's not going to be peace until the people try to implement Islam in their life and to live this Islam according its rules. The next hadith, which is hadith number 739, وعن جابر رضي الله تعالى عنه قال توفى رجل منا فغسلناه وحنطناه وكفناه ثم أتينا به رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقلنا تصلي عليه فخطى خطى ثم قال أعليه دين قلنا ديناران فانصرفا فتحملهما أبو قتادة فأتيناه فقال أبو قتادة الديناران علي فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حق الغريم وبرئ منهما الميت قال نعم فصلى عليه. This hadith reported by Jabir, may Allah be pleased with him, and the hadith in the collection of Imam Ahmad, Abu Dawood, Nisa'i. And Ibn Hibban wal Hakim, and the hadith is authentic. Jabir telling us that a man among them, he passed away, and they wash him, they prepare him, the janazah, everything. And after this, they went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, asking the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to perform the janazah prayer on him. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam approached the body, he came closer to the body to make salah on it. And after this, he turned to the people and asked, does he owe anybody money? They said, yes, he owe 2 dinars. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he refused to pray on him, and he said for somebody else to pray on him. Okay, so Abu Qatada, he was willing to take care of this debt, and he said, I will pay them. So they went and informed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So in that time, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he asked him that you be responsible. He said, yes. He said, that means the dead person is free from it. He said, yes. He said, okay. Now it's your responsibility to pay them. And the dead body, the dead person, he is not responsible about it anymore. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed the janazah. So from this hadith, we see that the seriousness of the debt, and how that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he doesn't perform prayer over people who die while they owing the people money, and also the virtues or the good of people try to carry the debt of other people, especially if they already pass away. And also that the person who took care of this, now it is became his responsibility, and he's responsible to pay. Hadith number 740, وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يؤتى بالرجل المتوفى عليه الدين فيسأل هل ترك لدينه من قضاء، فإن حدث أنه ترك وفاء صلى عليه، وإن قالوا وإلا قال صلوا على صاحبكم. فلما فتح الله عليه الفتوحة قال أنا أولى بالمؤمنين من أنفسهم، فمن توفي وعليه دين فعلي قضاؤه. متفق عليه. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, which he almost closer to the narration before, but here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before he pray on any dead person, he used to ask, does this man owe anybody money? If yes, he will ask, did he leave any money behind him for his debt to be paid or to be taken care of it? If they said yes, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will perform the prayer on him. Otherwise, he will say, what? You pray over him. After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought victories to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he opened and took over certain countries and cities, and the Muslims, they became having money. So now Bayt al-Mal of the Muslimin became available. Okay, so the Prophet ﷺ said, أنا أولى بالمؤمنين من أنفسهم. I am closer to the believers than their own selves. Okay, so if anyone dies leaving a debt, I shall be responsible for paying his debt. Okay, so after this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to pay the debt of the people who die without having paid the debt, and they did not have any wealth left behind him to pay it, he used to pay it from Bayt al-Mal of al-Muslimin. The last hadith in this chapter, hadith number 741, the hadith is weak, so we're going to leave it alone, and after this will be chapter number 9, which talks about partnership and agency. Inshallah, we may leave some time for questions and answers. Brother Imam Abd al-Muddi, is your time, brother? Can you say this again, please? Say it again, please. Can you repeat the question?
Yes. What is, like, before we became Muslim, we had debt. Like, we owed debt, and then when we became Muslim, we had responsibility for those debts.
You should try your best to pay the debt that you owe from before Islam. Islam yajubu ma qablahu. Islam will remove the sins from what is before Islam. But the rights of the people is still the rights of the people. That means if a person understand, commit adultery, fornicate, whatever, these things that happened before Islam as a sin between a human being, because there is nothing worse than kufr and shirk. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave all these things. But what you owe for the people as money, that you have to do your best to pay it back, and we're talking basically about the principles, okay? Not the usury and whatever other things that they claiming beyond whatever is supposed to be, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. We understand the question. If I'm not mistaken, he's saying, what is the responsibility of a man who is married to a wealthy woman? I don't know where you are. Maybe if it's in Washington, few ladies like this, maybe you can send us an application. I don't know what you're talking about, wealthy ladies, but anyway, let's imagine that there is some wealthy ladies that you're talking about, and like he's saying that she's spending her money here and there and says, this is my money. This is true, this is her money, but we understand also that Islam had made the obedience of a woman to her husband is a must, okay? And as long as he's not commanding her to do something haram, she has to obey. And if it became, you understand, a problem between the husband and wife, comes as a result of the way how she utilizing her money, now she have to obey him, or she have to be married to her wealth. So she, if she could not listen and obey him, she have to go about her business. That means be out of this marriage. Or otherwise, if he willing to be patient with this, this also will be, that means he have to make a decision, and she have to make a decision if he could not remain in this marriage, or if she could not remain in this marriage. But if we're talking about Islamic principle, as we said, a woman have to obey her husband to the best of her ability, as long as he's not commanding her to do something haram. And for her, for him, commanding her to save her money, not to be wasting her money here and there, spending it here and there, this is his right. I could not hear you. Okay, back in, the brother asked me what is the difference between fundraising and begging. Fundraising, this is a general programs, you see, for the benefit of the Muslims, like masjid, hospitals, schools and things like this. This is not a begging, but somebody begging for individual, this is what, like an individual case, okay? But fundraising is conducted by the imam, by the people in the charge of the community, for the benefit of the general body of the community. This is fundraising, okay? Or in what you call encouraging the people to give fi sabilillah for whatever cause that exists. It's been done in the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But begging is a person going to individual, going to others. Okay? Yeah. And Allah knows best. Anything else? You're safe. Abu Saif. Yes. Yes, it can consider begging. Okay, as a brother asking if a student ask money, why? Because he's studying. Because studying does not have to be a means to stop the people of working. Okay, a person can. If he really, really so concerned about studying, he can limit his expenses to the minimum and same time study. And we can see a lot of people from Muslims and non-Muslims, they work on some part-time and they still going to schools. And this has become so strange that we see it among the Muslims, but among the kuffar we see these people who get their degrees, PhD degree and master degree, they be working in restaurants, in a gas stations, and they try to do their best and they finish it. And especially about studying Islam, there is no limit when you have to finish. So what you have to finish it in a year, you can finish it in 2 years. Okay? So you can be working part-time and studying part-time at the same time, and that you do the best that you can. And Allah knows best. Alhamdulillah. I think this can be good for today, inshallah. We can start. We made about 1 hour and 15 minutes. We have one question here from the sister. If you people want to hang there to listen, it's okay. If you want to hang up, it's okay. But we're going to be making Maghrib, and this be it for today, inshallah. Okay. Go ahead. Excuse me for a second, please, sister. Go ahead. Go ahead, Imam. Mr. Atma. Consider Umm Kulthum, Umm Kulthum, neither Abdul Nasser to be a great people. Exactly, because what they did was not for Islam, neither by Islam, okay? And exactly like today, like somebody come and ask me, is Michael Jackson, do you consider him great? Like somebody ask me, do you think Clinton is great? So it doesn't matter if he's from Egypt or America or Sudan, if a person is a kuffar, you see, or that they Muslims by name and all their action and deeds is contrary to Al-Islam, how they can be great? Say so, why not?
That's very difficult for us to swallow in this country as a people. Now, there are some people here, you know, who are prepared to agree with you, but I'll argue with them separately. I won't take that argument over the telephone. You know, however, history. When we're in school and the education that we get and the things that is put in our heads, you know, to relate to growing up, it has to do with war and culture and, you know, militarism and things like industrialization. Those are things that Americans, not saying black and white, but what Americans and most Europeans and what they call first world people, you know, consider to be measures of just like we understand in history. See what I'm trying to get to?
I understand, Akhi. What was the greatness come out of Islam? Other than this, Abu Jahl was in his time was a great to some people, okay? Abu Lahab, all these people. But what they are in Islam, Tabbat yada Abi Lahab wa tab. So Islam is what makes us great, or whatever you understand that you do according to the way of Allah, this is what makes you great or not great, and Allah knows best. Alhamdulillah. Alaykum as-salamu alaykum wa barakatuh. Yes, sister.
Does a wife share in the debts of her husband? Let's just say, for example, if he had a business and she participated in it, is she responsible for half of those debts?
It depends what kind of partnership they've been in the business, okay? Like,
there was no, I'm saying, if, as a woman, just being obedient and assisting the husband. Not a partnership.
Oh, okay.
No.
She is not responsible. Except if you, beside being a husband and wife, you are a partner in the company, and as a result of not fulfilling your part or making the wrong decision, or that both of you had borrow, or that both of you invest together as a husband and wife, and also as a partners, that you're supposed to share the profit as well as the loss. So now if the company are in debt, that both of you are responsible about it. But if you are a wife which assisting a husband in whatever he asking you to do, and he making a bad decision as a result of this, and understand he owes the people money, this is his problem, and Allah knows best. Okay?
What if you someday have the means, and you could do half?
This is be good of you, but you are not responsible. Allah knows best. All right. Anything else? Okay.
What about bankruptcy? Like bankruptcy in America here? Is that halal or haram for us, as Muslims, to do that?
I really don't know too much about bankruptcy in America. You understand what it is, because it seemed like people misusing the system here about this bankruptcy. Is it actually that they are bankrupt, okay, and that's because you can show in papers that you are bankrupt. Okay?
And that's what I wanted to ask you. Sonically, here they can, you can keep your home.
Exactly.
You can have a million dollar mansion, and they cannot touch that.
This is the reason I say this could.
In Islam, is that permissible? When you said that, like these brothers, you know, they didn't have anything to pay off the debts and things like that. Would they have to sell their homes? Would they take their homes? Like if the wife is still alive, would they have to give up that house? How would they deal with that Islamic?
Inshallah, I will answer this question. Yeah, but okay, for somebody, if he built this house out of the business, or he owned it before the business, okay, does he have something beyond his needs and his wants? Okay, like you say, he have a mansion, okay, and he still owes his people, and he can live him and his wife and his children in apartment. Inshallah, maybe we're going to try to answer this next week, inshallah. Thank you very much. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Allah knows best.